Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. We prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnson, with today's guest.
Greetings. My name is Randy Hatchett, and I teach here at HBU, Houston Baptist University. I can hardly believe it, but I came here in the fall of 1990. It sounds like a long time ago, even to me. But it's been my privilege to be here and to teach in the School of Theology. I have taught all these years at HBU, and I've also been active in church life. I've done interim pastorships for about 20 congregations in that 30 years. And for those of you who don't know, in Baptistdom, churches do their own search for ministers, and I'm a part-time fill-in pastor while they're searching for their full-time pastor. So that's kept me kind of in the church, but also in the academic realm, and it's been a great privilege that has fit me. Most recently, I've written a book with our own esteemed colleague, Ben Blackwell. It's called Engaging Theology, and it serves as a textbook to sophomore level students here when they take their introductory course in theology. And the book was a real joy to write. It was an act of friendship with my friend and partner in crime, Ben Blackwell. And we were particularly sort of trying to address a student that's very different than a student when I came in 1990, and in a culture maybe that's very different, where folks you know, don't necessarily know, even if they're involved in church, anything about the Christian teaching or much about the Christian story. So we sort of try to build from the ground up. We cover a lot fewer topics than some books in theology do, but we cover all the key topics that have been addressed typically. But we do so with a story and then a biblical narrative. Not just a passage or two that touches on that, but trying to trace that doctrine through the whole scope of the Bible. We find out people don't know the Bible narrative. And then with some key points along the way in Christian history. And so we end with each chapter with a practical consequence. What difference would this doctrine make? And so anyway, that captures sort of my vision and interest in the last few years in theology, trying to really paint the picture of what's really essential for Christian belief.
You know, Dr. Hatchett, it's really an honor to have you. I have such respect for you and all that you've done. And I want to just pause for a minute on the book. Dr. Hatchett has written, co-authored with Dr. Ben Blackwell, Engaging Theology. That's a Zondervan published book. Mm-hmm. That's a very important book today. A person's theology affects his philosophy. It affects his morality. I mean, can you just elaborate? I mean, I know this word theology most people don't get, but it is really central to the way you live your life.
It's a strange irony. We live in a culture that lives off Christian fumes. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of values and lingo that we should care or share or whatever. But people maybe forget that those culture or those values are really inspired by a Christian heritage and legacy. At the same time, even though we're barring Christian gas and living off Christian fumes, even people who are not Christian very much take these Christian ideas, but they're divorced from the basic content and conviction that from which they kind of were generated and they emerged. So it's really a kind of a cruel irony. We think we know something about Christianity, but we're shocked to find out that some of the ideas we hold most dearly are Christian. You know, our culture is kind of shocked to find out where this idea came from. And yet, even in the church, we've kind of lost track of central Christian convictions like Trinity and Christ. Mm-hmm. And so, just to explore one, like you ask, the simple notion that God creates. And it doesn't matter if you're talking to the political left or the political right. The idea that we are fashioned by God, that He has sustained us, His Spirit has given us every bit of strength and intelligence and initiative we'd ever have, that He has orchestrated the kind of context of our life, all of those things matter differently. To the political right sometimes, and I hate that this gets bogged down in politics, sometimes we're so proud that we're self-made people.
Mm-hmm.
When the truth is, you're the person God made you. And there's a destiny and a course that God has for you, and a faithful life. And you, the real you, the person you're intended to be, is only found in that. And so you'll find people so proud of their accomplishments, so confident they did it on their own, and that they're completely self-made. Well, we're not our own creation.
Mm-hmm.
On the far left, you have people, again, emphasizing this idea that I can make myself anything I want. I can choose or declare my gender, my identity, my purpose, and I don't need a God in the world. I am my own project. And so it's just a tragedy to think in terms of us trying to make ourselves in our own image, whether we employ the idea of God or not, and missing the idea that every person is indebted to God for the goodness of life and for every good gift that comes our way. And that even when we face the hardship of life, it's the same Creator God that's not lost track of us, but intends to redeem us. And so the simplest things like God is Creator actually have huge implications for our culture.
Dr. Randy Hatchett, Dr. Ben Blackwell, Engaging Theology, Zondervan published book, 2019. You made an interesting statement that that book was written with today's student in mind. And today's student in Gen Z that's coming on the scene, totally different than a decade or even really a decade ago. I mean, this it's hard to believe that the iPhone is, what, 10 or 11 years old? And the internet, not much older than that. How did that shape the writing of Engaging Theology?
Right. Well, I think these things you've mentioned culturally just accelerated a kind of a trend we were on for some time. I did say our students, I think Ben would want to nudge me and say, we're hoping it reaches people beyond the classroom. But just in culture at large, our students representing them, there's just not an awareness. Our students coming our way, you might think that people that self-select a Christian school would know a good bit about the Bible or something, but even people in church now, raised in church, may not really have any sense of the sequence of the Bible. So things that in our day I think would be more commonplace for a regular churchgoer, I think we could have put Moses and David and Jesus and Paul in order. But you really do have people who come without any sense of anything about a Bible story or which of those characters would come first or last. And so we just don't want to assume anything about the biblical narrative. We also assume that even practicing people that go to a church or something may not know anything about classical Christian convictions. And so the idea was, we need to start in a different place. We need to start in a more sort of rudimentary place and assume that everything that we take forward is put in that larger picture of the Bible story and that has a minimum of X, Y, and Z. It's not just the simplest book ever, the truth is. We feel like some things are important that people know, like the doctrine of Christ and the notion of the Trinity we think is central. But we think we've got to start from that basic sort of level. And so just this awareness that our culture was changing, that people were losing the sense of biblical literacy and then the sense of kind of a theological frame that we might have taken for granted. I'm not sure if we got that from catechism or some kind of Sunday school or the hymns that we sang or whatever, but I think there's a growing consensus that working sort of knowledge we might have had at one time that I think my parents had just as lost. My parents, to maintain their place as teachers, get this, imagine this. In order to maintain your status as a teacher, they had to take 3 studies every year. They had to read 3 books and attend classes 3 times a year. And if they didn't keep their training up and keep learning, they couldn't work in Sunday school. I mean, that's just a high bar and a standard that used to your church would have a lot of buy-in to and enforce, that I don't think many congregations can pull off or maybe even imagine.
It sounds like to me that Engaging Theology could be a great book for a pastor to use with his people, with his leaders. I mean, it is troubling that today we have believers that, you know, and I say this very kindly, in the era of seminar sermons, you know, how to be successful, how to have a great marriage, you know, mm-hmm. which is really neat. I mean, it's awesome to get all these techniques, and I love every rah-rah talk I can hear. I mean, I that juices me. But when you go to church, you really want to hear theology, mm-hmm. which is the doctrine of God, mm-hmm. right? And I remember church training union. I mean, you say that today, and people say, what was that? And we have very sincere teachers today that often get a class and, you know, that go around the circle and everybody tell what the verse means to you. What gets lost in all of that today?
I think there's a great deal, and maybe our impoverishment in a way speaks to that loss. But among other things, I think there's a sense of community, a sense of belonging to a church identity. You belong to these people, you worship with these people, but that worship is built around key convictions. And there's the idea that, you know, we're in some way, feeble as we are, the embodiment of Christ. And there was a recognition that this group is different than the culture at large, or the American dream, or any other kind of dream you might have. That this church, I mean, this embodiment of Christ has to bear distinctive witness. In losing that sense of identity, you know, you lose the kind of initiative you have that we've got to train our young people to understand how to think differently and process differently. We've lost the kind of missionary vision that, with that loss of community, that, you know, every one of us that goes out from here represents Christ wherever we go. So, you know, we ought to be different at school. We ought to be in the workplace, wherever we go. And with that loss of kind of identity, we've lost, again, that drive or initiative to train, to be distinctive, and to grow and be shaped by Christ enough that we could bear an authentic witness.
Totally agree. Now, HBU has launched a new Doctor of Ministry, mm-hmm. we call D-Men. Mm-hmm. A lot of people saying, what's a D-Men? I had a layman ask me that the other day. And I know a lot of guys, a lot like really my trajectory in ministry, in that I kind of had a 7-year scholarship and then I didn't for a year and my ministry just blew up. And then later I said, oh, wow, Chris, my wife, let's do the MDiv, the D-Men, the whole bit. And it was so awesome, the D-Men part.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone asked me, what was the most enjoyable education experience? I said it was the D-Men.
Yeah.
Because I was engaged, and I was with pros and mm-hmm. real theologians, and I could vent.
Yeah. And I would imagine you had enough traction with experience in the church.
Sure.
To kind of see the practical relevance of anything that you were studying. Yeah.
So talk about the D-Men at HBU and why you're charged about it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a great opportunity for us. It's an advanced degree, and it has a research component. It's missing, though, some of the academic side of things that you would do in a PhD. But its purpose is to give a final or terminal degree that would be focused on somebody's ministry practice. So there's some requirements for it. You have to have a certain number of hours. Certain folks need leveling, but a master's work and an MDiv usually qualifies you. We also want you to have some time out in the real life experience of worshiping and ministering. But with those requirements met, we're going to bring folks in. I think we're going to have a really encouraging scholarship package for these folk. And then they began a course of study, and it, again, it's a doctor's degree, but its focus and its research is targeted toward applied ministry. And so I'm pleased about it. Professors I've known elsewhere, even some who have very distinguished PhD credentials and so on, have told me again and again they don't enjoy anything more than working with these pastors who come back, who want to really do solid work and academic work, but they already have their feet in ministry, their investment in ministry, their place there. And so their acquisition and their study takes on a little different tone to it. And so anyway, I think we've got a great lineup, great instruction. I think we'll have a very competitive kind of scholarship program for the funding of it. And I just expect it to be a very, very well-received degree here.
You know, I really think every church, every pastor, I mean, and I have a son-in-law that we kind of helped influence to launch a church, and they opened a phenomenal facility Christmas Eve, doing fantastic, got an MDiv, but he, like so many others, would be perfect in a D-Min, right. And he would enjoy it now too more, because it's like you said, you know, you've had these interims, 20 churches. I've been involved in the church, and you've got to get in this laboratory of life. Mm-hmm. You got to meet all the ups and downs and what I used to call the diaper of the week as a pastor. Mm-hmm. There was always somebody, you know, the chicken was either too hot, too cold, or the auditorium, you know, as we know, sounds too high, it's too low. When you get that kind of training, it helps equip you back in the pulpit. And it does help you with your disciples, so to speak, those men and women around you that are they're serving and teaching. Can you just speak on how important that would be?
Well, I don't know. You've said it so well, but I'm just all in. I very much affirm what you say. The study you do in theology ought to be an act of worship where you're pursuing God. If it's, you know, not that, you're getting shortchanged. These are not ideas you look at from an arm's length. They're ideas that you only can kind of explore by a pursuit of them in a personal kind of way. And so, ideally, theology would always be about formation.
Spiritual formation?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, formation. That's the motive behind it. It's not just a collection of ideas or an abstract curiosity. In fact, the church has kind of typically had a real question about curiosity, and people look at it and say, isn't that odd? Didn't that make you a great learner? But they were worried about curiosity because this is not idle sort of third party looking from the outside experiment about how ideas fit together. It really is finding and knowing who God is. And so what I find is some experience in the pulpit awakens the need for theology, and theology really informs and strengthens the vision for ministry and pulpit and otherwise. So those two really feed off each other.
You know, Randy, the other day I sat with a businessman for 6 hours, and you know, he was kind of giving me an update on the status of Ravi Zacharias ministry and the challenges there. Knew Ravi right from the get-go, way back almost 4 decades ago. And we have seen, unfortunately, like, just a lot of crashes of a lot of men. It makes me wonder, you know, I interpret it as soul care. You know, the stuff I did, you know, like Jesus said, go back and do your first works. Go back and do what you're doing that made you spiritually healthy. How would the study of theology help these men and women that are having a degree of success in their ministry keep their feet on the ground, their head not blown up, and et cetera?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just such a painful thing to enter in and to witness, because you see the fruitfulness of so many people and their skills and their abilities and so on. It's ever so painful. So I don't want to speak in some fashion. I do want to exhort us all and hold us all accountable to a higher Christian standard. I don't want to be vitriolic over anybody who's fought or
right.
has struggled. And, you know, I just think it's the grace of God mm-hmm. in my life that's kept me from making kinds of blunders and wandering astray from faithfulness here and there and so on. So I just want to say I'm grateful to God for the goodness and the kindness He's exhibited. And just ask for patience for anyone who's struggling and trying to be restored. More to your question, it's not just the study of theology, again, that is about ideas. Because any person who's well-known can put ideas together. Either they're very clever or they're very winsome. There's not a shortage of ideas. But it's a study of theology that is rooted in formation, and the other place is community.
Mm-hmm.
We're not lone rangers.
Yeah.
We are meant to walk this way together. And you will walk differently if you're accountable.
Yeah.
Then you would walk on your own. I don't have any lack of confidence in you, but you or me or anybody else. You will walk differently when you're tethered to others.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what God created us to be is not only be formed in His image, but the way we do that is to be yoked together. And so theology ought to be about formation, but it's always formation in community. And if there's one thing I would say that might help us in this regard, it's that in any practice or any ministry where there's more and more independence and less community and accountability, I think makes anyone vulnerable.
Well, Jesus sent them out in pairs, and we know why. And I want to just, you're writing an article for our Pillars magazine on the academic excellence that's characterized HBU. And I mean, it's very notable to me, having been to other Christian universities, when I came into the environment of HBU, there was a different academic level, whether it's in School of Christian Thought. This wasn't, one guy told me that Christian University is a factory, mm-hmm. referring to another university that kind of graduates a bunch of people. But there's been a real teeth to academia here. You've been here a long time. Why has that been like it has?
Well, I've wondered that myself through the years. I've seen other institutions. It may go back to the last answer. I don't know that I have a better insight than that. There are some schools that pursue an academic kind of track, and they sort of lose track that they were ever connected to the church.
Mm-hmm.
There are some schools that are so church-friendly and so affirming in that way that it's like a Sunday school program or whatever, and there's not any rigor. But I'll just say I've been pleased to witness here from my first day here. I observed people who were very serious about faith. I really pursued that, wrote well, published in peer-reviewed journals, exceeded really my vision and my ability. I think again and again, I've had so many people that I've walked with that have just exhibited such excellence. But they always were tethered to the church. And there's something about that. So, you know, in this D-Men, you'll sit down with Phil Tallon, you'll sit down with Ben Blackwell. There's some great instruction that you'll receive. But you need to know, Ben Blackwell's publishing all sorts of books. And he's well-regarded in the guild and among academic folk who measure and insist on excellence. But this is a churchman. This is a person who's preaching in a church or is at his home church. And I don't know, it's that foot in both worlds that to me has characterized the vast majority of what I've seen here through the years. I've and I'm profoundly grateful. I think it's only kind of emphasized again in our recent years under Dr. Sloan, who again is that scholar, pastor, if there's ever a president who's both. I mean, that's kind of his vision and his person.
So true. I've really enjoyed talking to Dr. Sloan just about, sometimes we just talk about scripture verses, you know, and about their, what does it say in the Greek? You know, to me, that's enthralling. I mean, Dr. Randy Hatchett, professor of theology in HBU School of Christian Thought, program coordinator for theological studies, Christianity. Wow, you've done a lot here, brother. And it's amazing when I always hear, you know, I was with David Fresh the other day from Norway. He came out and had coffee with me when he was here at Christmas time. And he told me what an impact you made on his life.
Yeah.
And this is a man now that is really working with churches all over the world.
Yeah, remarkable.
And so, you know, your ministry reaches globally. We're so grateful that Dr. Hatchett is here. He is a gift to the church and a gift to HBU. And there's a place for you at HBU. And you say, how do I figure that out? Go to hbu.edu, School of Christian Thought. And remember, there's no question that you could ask that we would not endeavor to give you good answers. I want to dispel the myth that this is kind of a private school for only people have a lot of money. 90% of the students who come to HBU receive some sort of financial assistance. And the word family and the second word care truly, really is the mirror of HBU. You don't walk through this campus anonymous. There'll be a faculty member, there'll be a friend. We've heard it so many times, and this is our 234th podcast. Learn more at hbu.edu/admissions, 281-649-3211. Our graduate school, hbu.edu/grad, G-R-A-D, 281-649-3269. And we were thinking and talking about the church. It was churches in the early days when founding fathers stood on this campus that was not even in existence, co-signed mortgages, but churches sent money for many, many years to Houston Baptist College that became Houston Baptist University. And we know that not everybody can give the same, but we can all give something. And we've learned that principle of reciprocity that Jesus said, the measure we use is the measure that'll be granted back to us. So let's give cheerfully to HBU, hbu.edu/giving. Make HBU a part of your giving plans, and let's send student like David Fresh, who is under Dr. Hatchett, who now is in Norway, who now leads a whole coalition of churches all over the world. We need more David Freshes in the world. Your giving will make that happen. Dr. Hatchett, thanks so much for being here, man.
Pleasure.
Thanks for your faithfulness. And we just appreciate you. We're really excited about the D-Men. And just pray that God blesses you and your colleagues as you help these men and women go to the next level.
Yeah, it's another day. But that program, I think, is going to be accessible to a lot of people because there was just a profound and generous gift targeted exactly for this purpose. That's going to, I think, bear fruit for us for a long, long time.
And that's notable that there is financial assistance available if it's qualified for the D-Men. So, again, hbu.edu/admissions. Thanks, Dr. Hatchett.
Thank you.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.